Netflix reports slowing subscriber growth.
Well, I think the U.S. is becoming a more mature business for Netflix.
And Microsoft releases a new Xbox, the first model without a disk drive.
So this is sort of like a stopgap. It's like the next step toward going completely digital.
Plus, Apple and Qualcomm strike a truce, ending a billion-dollar showdown. This is What's News from The Wall Street Journal. I'm Kim Gittleson. Let's get started. Now, before we get into our big story this morning, slowing user growth at Netflix and what that means for the future of streaming, here's what you missed overnight. Apple and Qualcomm have settled their long-simmering patent dispute. The truce brings an end to one of the ugliest corporate feuds in history, and it was struck only hours after opening arguments in a trial over chip royalties had got underway. The surprising settlement includes an undisclosed payment from Apple to Qualcomm, and it also ends all litigation involving the contract manufacturers that Apple enlists to make iPhones and iPads. We report that the truce is good for Apple, but better for Qualcomm. And Microsoft's next Xbox won't play video game discs. It's a first for a major console maker and a move that brings the industry a step closer to an all-digital streaming future. Sarah Needleman explains why the video game industry took just so long to do away with discs.
The reason this has taken so much longer than we've seen with music and movies is that, first of all, games are these games take sometimes hours to download. They're very, very beefy. We're talking like 50 gigabytes or more in some cases. And they also eat up a lot of storage space. So this new all-digital Xbox One S will have enough space to house about 8 to 10 games at a time. So it's 1 terabyte. And then the rest of your games you could store in the cloud. So it's finally happening. And there's at least one analyst I spoke to from Piper Jaffray. He predicts that nearly all video games will be sold in digital form by 2022.
That new Xbox One S All Digital will be available from May 7th and cost $249. That's the cheapest of any current Xbox model. And Justice Department antitrust enforcement staff have told T-Mobile and Sprint that their planned merger is unlikely to be approved as it's currently structured. That casts doubt on the fate of the $26 billion deal, which was the culmination of years of on-again and off-again talks between the two rivals. Now, our main story this morning, Netflix. The company reported its first quarter earnings late yesterday, and while it said that the overall number of subscribers grew, growth was slowing in the United States. That raised some questions for investors who are concerned the company won't be able to sustain its rapid growth. Joe Flint is our media reporter. I phoned him up in California to find out more about what's happening. So, Joe, walk me through this earnings report. Why is U.S. subscriber growth slowing?
Well, I think the U.S. is becoming a more mature business for Netflix. They're still growing here, but they're anticipating a slowdown, as you said. And there's also increasing competition. Hulu has seen its subscriber growth grow dramatically in the last year. There's a lot more direct-to-consumer streaming services offering other cable packages, whether it's DirecTV Now or YouTube TV. So there's a lot more competition in the streaming arena. Even with their slowdown, Netflix still has a big lead over all their rivals here.
They also decided to raise their prices earlier this year. Is that something you think that led to this slowing subscriber figure?
I think it's too soon to say on that because the price effects are sort of going into effect on a rolling basis. I myself, as a Netflix subscriber, just got my price increase notice, and it will take place next month. So I think we'll see in the coming months if that slows things down. No one loves a price increase as a customer, but I will say still overall that the average price of $13 for their most popular package is ultimately still a pretty good deal compared to the traditional pay TV monthly bill.
Now, you wrote that this slowing subscriber figure in the U.S. means that international markets are now more important than ever to Netflix. Are there particular markets that the company is focusing on, and does it make money internationally?
I think you know, they've been growing very fast overseas, and that's still where they're seeing a lot of their future growth, and that's why you're seeing so much of their content activities geared towards original content in the various markets they're getting into, as well as acquiring popular shows in those markets. I think they look at India as a real big market, just like a lot of U.S. companies do. I think that's going to be one to watch for them.
Going forward, do you think Netflix will continue to shell out just as much money as it's been over the past few years on original content, on trying to attract subscribers that way, or do you think this might put a damper on those ambitions?
Well, the situation Netflix finds itself in is that they are going to have to continue to spend money on original programming, especially because what we haven't touched on yet is the new rivals they're going to have from Disney and Warner Media and Comcast. And all of those companies have been big suppliers to Netflix of movies and old TV shows. And those are still what drives Netflix viewership. You know, the reruns of The Office, the reruns of Friends, the reruns of Grey's Anatomy.
Not Stranger Things, not Orange is the New Black.
Stranger Things, Orange is the New Black, all popular. But if you look at the top 10, top 20 shows for Netflix in the U.S., it is those old acquired shows. So if they're going to start losing access to those shows, or maybe they'll have to share them, then they're really going to need to keep investing more in originals and have some of those originals break through. I mean, Netflix has done a tremendous job with original content, obviously on the movie side. You know, they've had tremendous critical success. On the TV side, they've had some big hits, but they make so much stuff that, you know, a lot of it just sort of, it does kind of come and go. I mean, they resist that talk, but I think if you look at Netflix, they have such a glut of content. It's sort of, you know, it's a challenge because they want to keep stuff fresh there, but at the same time, they don't want to overwhelm their customer.
So it sounds like it might be a good time to be a screenwriter, but maybe not a Netflix executive.
Well, we'll see. I mean, Netflix has such a head start. They're such a big company. I think Disney made a very impressive presentation last week, and their price tag at $6.99 a month certainly undercuts Netflix. And, you know, Netflix will probably tell you that, yes, it'll be very complimentary to us. People can have Disney and Netflix. And we'll see. It may not necessarily have to be a zero-sum game. I mean, I think the ones I'd really be worried about in the long run are your traditional pay TV distributors.
You can find our full coverage of Netflix and competitors like Disney's new streaming service at WSJ.com. And now, the sked. Here's what to look forward to later today. Earnings season continues with Pepsi and Alcoa reporting. We'll also get Morgan Stanley's earnings before U.S. markets open, closing out bank earnings for the quarter. A key thing to pay attention to there will be trading revenue. And a pair of technology unicorns will price their IPOs later today, ahead of their market debut on Thursday. Pinterest is likely to price its shares above its expected range, but its valuation might be eclipsed by a lesser-known company, the video conferencing firm Zoom. The hope is that the success of the two firms will put the messy recent debut of Lyft in the rearview mirror. Finally, just 108 years later, the Justice Department said that its breakup of Standard Oil is finally finished. The DOJ also said it would stop ensuring the market for horseshoes was competitive and that it was going to stop regulating the player piano industry. Got any other regulations that took a surprisingly long time to get off the books? Tweet us at WSJ Podcasts or email us at whatsnews@wsj.com. That's What's News from the Wall Street Journal. Thanks for listening. Now get to work.